Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Yes, we're making babies here in Lunchtime Live. Professor, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist Shane Higgins is with us in studio from the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, how's things?
Good, thanks, Andrea.
We are chatting today about C-sections. You might just tell us, first of all, why somebody needs one.
Well, there's many, many reasons. And broadly speaking, you can break them down into reasons that might arise before the patient goes into labour. So, for example, if the baby is in a breech position, which means its bottom is presenting, that's typically delivered by caesarean section now. If there's a low-lying placenta, if it's very early. So there's lots of reasons why they might have a section before labour. And then in labour, if the patient is developing any complications, or if the baby isn't tolerating the labour, or if they're bleeding, or if they're just not making progress after a period of time where they might be on oxytocin to help improve the strength and frequency of contractions, they might require a caesarean section there. So before and during labour would be the two main ways in which you might end up having a caesarean section.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have questions for Shane Higgins about C-sections today. Is everybody eligible to get one or to have one?
Oh yeah, it is. I mean,
They're suitable for all.
Yeah, anyone can end up with a caesarean section, but I'll declare my colours here and say that you should try and avoid it if you can. So having a normal vaginal delivery or a natural birth is what everyone should aspire to. But obviously there are patients who choose not to have it, or there are patients who are perhaps not in a position to have a natural birth, so they end up with a caesarean section. But yes, everyone can end up rather than have a caesarean section. Yeah.
Are most caesarean sections that take place in hospitals around the country, are they typically emergency related?
Well, I suppose for the patient, sections are either electively booked in advance, and you know weeks in advance when that day is going to be. And that's what's called an elective caesarean section. But everything else that's unscheduled is an emergency. So you come into hospital, you're found to be unwell, that's an emergency caesarean section. You're in labour, you have a bleed, or you're not making progress, that's classed as an emergency caesarean section. But the surgery is pretty much identical regardless of what type of caesarean section you have.
Take us through that process. Okay, I know listeners are maybe munching on lunch, but just
I won't go into the gore. Yeah. So you would typically come to theatre, whether it's you might walk to theatre if it's an elective caesarean section. You might be brought up on a trolley or a wheelchair if you're coming from the delivery suite. You'd be met by the anaesthetic staff and the nursing team from theatre. You'll be brought into theatre. You will need a drip in the back of your hand if there isn't one already there. If you already have an epidural in place, that'll be topped up to the point where it's suitable to undertake the surgery. If not, you might get a spinal anaesthetic, which is very similar. If it's an absolute emergency and there isn't deemed enough time to do that, you'll have a general anaesthetic. Then once the anaesthetic is effective, we paint your tummy with an antiseptic fluid. Mm. We drape you, and then we make the incision, which is a transverse incision. So it's 2 centimetres or 2 finger breadths above the symphysis pubis. So it's a transverse incision in your very lower tummy. And we go down then through the layers of the abdominal wall onto the uterus. And then we make a kind of a slightly smiley face incision in the uterus, deliver the baby through it, deliver the placenta, the membranes, everything comes through that incision now. And then that's, you know, from the start of the surgery to delivering the baby is maybe somewhere between 7 and 10 minutes. And then the remainder of the time is spent just putting all the layers back together again on the way out.
Yeah, recovery from that, typically?
Recovery from an elective caesarean section, whether it's elective or emergency, most patients are back on their feet within 24 hours, showering themselves, looking after their baby. And then over the next 4 or 5 days, they continue to strengthen and improve, rest, ready for home. And then maybe a week or two at home, really taking things easy before they get back, you know, certainly not to exercising, but to full mobility. About 2 to 3 weeks after the delivery.
Just a listener text was looking at it there coming in. What is the recovery time for the C-section? You answered that. My wife has to get one for medical reasons, and I'm looking to get extra time off work for it to support her. So what would you recommend?
Well, I think if you have a very straightforward, and most elective caesarean sections are very straightforward, then you can expect to be up and about within a day, fully mobile within a week, and really almost back to yourself without going to the gym and things like that within 2 to 3 weeks.
Are C-sections more common in first-time mums?
It depends. So we use a classification system, and it's a very interesting classification, and it's actually been developed by a consultant in our hospital called Mike Robson. And the Robson classification is used internationally now and has been adopted by the WHO to classify sections. If you are a first-time mom and you go into labour by yourself, then you've got about a 10% risk of a cesarean section if you are in labour. If you're a first-time mom and you're induced, then your risk goes up to about 40 to 45%. Now, you're not quite comparing apples with apples there, because within that group of women who are induced will be patients who might have a small baby, patients who have a little bit of blood pressure or a little bit of preeclampsia. So it's not exactly the same groups or comparing the same groups. But we do know that if you're induced, you have a higher rate of a cesarean section, whether you're a first-time mom or whether you've labored and delivered vaginally before. So the risk is higher if you're in that, it is higher. If you've already demonstrated your ability to deliver a baby vaginally, then your chances of a cesarean section in a second labour is quite low.
And if you've had a cesarean section with your first child, are you then typically more inclined to have it for?
Well, I think that's the way people are moving. I think what we're seeing is more patients are choosing an elective repeat cesarean section, and for many of them, the first journey might have been quite a traumatic journey, and they don't want to go through that again. So we are seeing that trend towards an elective repeat cesarean section, and therefore fewer patients are choosing to have a VBAC. But for those that do and who are carefully counselled about it, they actually have quite a good success rate of somewhere between 60-70%.
Okay, listener questions. I had no reason as such to have a C-section, but felt that this was the right thing for me. I was listened to and had a C-section. It was the best decision I ever made. It went very smoothly and the recovery was actually perfect.
Yeah.
So not a question, just a point I wanted to make. Listeners wondering, I would like to have a fourth child, but three kids by C-section. Will it be possible to have another section, or is it too risky?
Well, there is a risk with it, but that risk, although it's getting greater, it was there from the day you had your first cesarean section. And the risk is that you will have an anterior low-lying placenta, which is a placenta previa. And because it's embedded under the scar from the previous section, you have a risk of a condition called placenta accreta. That risk goes up with successive cesarean sections. So the more sections you have, the greater the risk of the previa, the greater the risk of the accreta. And that's a very serious obstetric complication, which, if the condition is significant enough, will lead you to ending up having a cesarean hysterectomy with the delivery of this fourth baby. So in order for you to be fully informed, I would advise the listener to speak to your obstetrician or midwife to get the information about what the risk is. You won't know until you become pregnant whether the placenta has embedded in this area or not. And if it hasn't, it's absolutely fine. If it has, and that needs to be identified as early as possible in pregnancy, then you'll need to discuss what to do.
Listener says they have a small pelvis. They had to get an emergency C-section last time. Does it mean it's more likely if I have another child?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the term that we use is cephalopelvic disproportion, which means the baby is just too big to pass through the birth canal. And that refers mostly to the bony birth canal. So if that was absolutely the condition that was described for your first cesarean section, then yeah, you're at greater risk. You can monitor the baby size, but it's an imprecise science in terms of how big is my baby. We all know that patients have been told they have an 8-pounder and it turns out to be a 7 or a 9. So it's not a great way of determining the exact size of your baby. But if this baby seems to be as big, yeah, you certainly need to discuss with your care providers about what the best way to deliver is.
Is there any way to avoid having a C-section? I'm actually terrified of having one. I'm due my first child. I'm very scared about it because I really want to have a natural birth.
No, I mean, you know, preparing yourself mentally and physically for labour and delivery, going to the classes, perineal massage, all the things that might help the baby's head pass through the birth canal will help with that. But at the end of the day, unfortunately, every single woman embarking upon labour, no matter how many times she's done it before, has a risk of a cesarean section. And often you can't foretell in advance of an event taking place like a bleed or a big prolonged deceleration on the baby's heart rate trace that you're going to be that person. But it's not a risk that you can avoid.
I am going into hospital to have my baby by planned C-section in a month's time. This listener is wondering, will my partner be able to stay with me after the baby's born? Because I'm afraid to be with the baby on my own after the surgery.
Your partner can certainly stay immediately after the surgery, and depending on what time of the day the surgery is carried out, late into the evening. But we don't, certainly in our hospital, we don't facilitate partners staying in the hospital overnight. but you have fantastic midwifery staff on the wards that will be able to assist and help you with your needs when your partner isn't there. But we do certainly, partners are there for the entire event, the delivery, and for the hours that follow.
But not actually not can't stay as such, no. Yeah. And finally, this listener says, Shane, they had a C-section last August. They had no complications. They found the recovery very difficult. Had extreme pain for about 4 weeks with any movement at all. They couldn't get out of bed without assistance. If I was to have a second section, would it likely be very similar because the recovery was so tough?
Yeah, no, look, I don't typically find that to be the case with the patients that I look after. And that's not to say that I do it any differently to anybody else. I think the listener might be more of an exception than a rule. I think most patients bounce back very quickly from a cesarean section. And the fact that you had a troubled recovery the first time around doesn't necessarily mean you'll have one the second time around. I think being in the peak of your physical and health going into the delivery helps you on the other side, helps you to start mobilizing, taking plenty of pain relief as well, because if you're in pain, you tend to be less mobile, and the less mobile you are, the more uncomfortable you're going to become, the more stiff you're going to become, and the more difficult you're going to find it. So getting on top of your pain requirements early on, and we use Diphene and paracetamol as a very good combination, provided you can have those medications. But trying to be mobile, even whilst you're in hospital, even in those 3 or 4 days after the birth, key to a good recovery.
Yeah, okay. Shane Higgins, Professor Shane Higgins, consultant, obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, thanks a million for coming in.
Pleasure.
To answer listener questions today. Email, as always, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.